Conservative? You bet. Controversial? Right again. It's time to squabble on the Jim Benson Show.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Jim Benson Show, conservative talk radio addressing the issues that concern you here on the BBS Radio Network. Before I go over news about coronavirus, also known as COVID-19, I want to briefly touch on some late developing news, and that is the sudden death a few days ago of longtime leftist U.S. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I'll have more to discuss about this in the next show 2 weeks from now, but suffice it to say, I expect the political left to go all out in efforts to prevent President Trump picking a replacement for Ginsburg and the Senate voting on it before the November elections, when the left is hoping to defeat Trump and get Joe Biden elected. It's perfectly legal, constitutional, and follows historical precedent for Trump to nominate a new justice for the Senate and for a new justice for the Supreme Court and for the Senate to vote on confirmation in the next few weeks. And this should be done. The Democrats would do exactly the same thing if they could. However, I expect there will be widespread civil unrest over this, including rioting, the typical behavior of the left, in an effort to prevent another Trump-nominated justice from being appointed to the Supreme Court. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has even raised the possibility of Democrats impeaching the president again to derail the process. It's going to be a very interesting next few weeks, to say the least. Now back to coronavirus news. According to the latest figures I've seen as of today, September 20, 2020, worldwide there have been just under 31 million confirmed cases of the virus, with some 962,000 deaths. In the U.S., there have been more than 6.9 million confirmed cases reported and more than 203,000 deaths. I've spoken before about criticisms, even by members of the White House Coronavirus Task Force, of the accuracy of the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, methodology for determining numbers of COVID-19 deaths, which White House Coronavirus Task Force Coordinator Dr. Deborah Birx reportedly claimed could be inflated by as much as 25%. Regardless, by the CDC's own admission recently, it can attribute only about 6% of the U.S. deaths from the virus to have been solely from the virus itself. All the rest were linked with additional health issues, such as complications of advanced age, cancer, heart and kidney diseases, AIDS, etc. No question, the virus is serious and potentially deadly, especially for those people with suppressed immune systems for whatever the reason. Nevertheless, some 80% of people who get the disease have mild or no symptoms. Recently, rates of infection and deaths have been declining in the U.S. and other parts of the world. This could be related to the disease having run its course, for the time being at least, and surviving members of those populations developing immunity. Obviously, if you have underlying health conditions and or are suffering from the complications of advanced age, you need to be careful to avoid contacts which could endanger you and take all reasonable precautions to prevent getting this disease. But the rest of the population should do the same within reason and get on with their lives. The U.S. and other governments are rapidly developing new vaccines to help prevent coronavirus, which could substantially alleviate the spread of its infection. Coronavirus originated in Wuhan, China, where the Communist Chinese government's Wuhan Institute of Virology is located. Numerous medical sources around the world have reported the virus was created in a lab and deliberately unleashed upon the world by the Chinese government. The Communist Chinese, of course, have vehemently denied these reports. Now a Chinese doctor who was working on the virus has come forward to claim she has evidence that coronavirus was definitely created by humans and is not a natural illness and was deliberately released by the Communist government of China. Here's some audio from an interview with this whistleblower, virologist Dr. Li Meng Yan, on Tucker Carlson Tonight, September 15. Play soundbite one, please.
virologist who says she has evidence about where this pandemic actually came from. We're happy to have her on tonight. Doctor, thanks so much for coming on.
Hi, Tucker. Thank you.
Thank you. I know that you've published some of your research. You're planning on publishing more soon. Give us, for a non-scientific audience, a summary of why you believe this virus came from a lab in Wuhan, please.
Okay. Briefly, from my first report, I can present the solid scientific evidence to our audience that this virus, COVID-19 SARS-CoV-2 virus, actually is not from nature. It is a man-made virus created in the lab based on the China military discover and owned the very unique bat coronavirus, which cannot affect people, but after the modification, become the very harmful virus at now. So I have evidence to show why they can do it, what they have done. How did they do it?
So what you're saying is much more sinister even than we've suggested on this show, than Tom Cotton suggested, than almost anyone suggested. You're saying that the Chinese government manufactured this virus, if I'm hearing you correctly. That's what you're saying?
Yes, exactly. Based on the virus genome, it's basically like our fingerprint. So you can see the very unusual characters in their genome, which clearly, based on the other evidence they left during the modification, we can say finally this is exactly the one come from their own special bat coronavirus and then target human.
What you're alleging is shocking more even than I anticipated when we invited you on. So I just want to ask the most obvious question, which is this genome presumably is in the possession of many researchers around the world. Why is nobody saying this if it's true?
Yeah, why there is nobody want to say it? It's because of the big suppression come from the Chinese Communist Party government and also their friend in scientific world. So basically, this is very clearly that this virus is like Frankenstein. So he created those things like basically a cow has deer's head, has rabbit's ear, and also have monkey's hand. So they can never get it from the nature. And there were evidence left in the genome. But the scientific world also keeps silence, work together with Chinese Communist Party. They don't want people to know this truth. Also, that's why I get suspended, I get suppression. I am the target that Chinese Communist Party won't be disappeared.
You're a brave person. I'm giving the benefit of the doubt and assuming you're not an anti-Chinese racist. So it's not clear why Twitter would shut you down or why you're being ignored by the rest of the U.S. media. Let me ask you a couple of questions. Why would the Chinese government intentionally create a virus like this?
Okay, if you want to know the exact motive, the exact idea, I think people have to come to ask them, ask Communist Party, why did they do it? Because they are the one do it. We cannot always understand their evil thinking. You have to come to ask them. But what we see already proves that they have done that. It harmed everyone in the world, lead to the historic pandemic. Involve everyone.
How do you believe this virus made its way from the lab in Wuhan outside to the rest of the world?
Okay, first, as I said, I have this kind of solid scientific evidence, and also my next report will come out soon to make you fully understand it is. The other thing is, I work in the WHO reference lab, which is the top coronavirus lab in the world, in the University of Hong Kong. And since I get deeply into such investigation in secret from the early beginning of this outbreak, I had my intelligence because I also get my own unique network in China, involve the hospital, institute, and also government. Also, I work with the top coronavirologists in the world. So together with my experience, I can tell you this is created in the lab. this is from that template owned by China military. And also it is spread to the world to make such damage.
Now, it's my understanding that a number of medical and political sources around the world have periodically, since the pandemic began, alleged and reported that Communist China was behind this, that the Chinese military were involved in running this lab and creating the virus, possibly with funding from the U.S., World Health Organizations, others, and it was deliberately released. But it's been sporadic, by and large. Information about that has been suppressed. As you will see later in the program, the Communist Chinese Party does have enormous influence in the U.S. and including in the U.S. media, and most particularly in the big tech platforms, big tech companies and their platforms for information dissemination. Dr. Yan stated we'll have to ask the Communist Chinese government why they allegedly developed and released coronavirus on the world. She stated, "We cannot always understand their evil thinking," close quote. And she said, along with that, that the Chinese government, Communist Party, wants her, quote, disappeared, unquote. We do hope that she does not disappear and can give us more information about this. The CCP publicly downplayed the danger of coronavirus for many weeks. That's well known. Before the seriousness of the deadly disease became apparent, allowing it to spread around the world. The left in America continues to attack President Trump over his handling of the coronavirus pandemic and blame him for the outbreak and deaths here in the U.S. This is typical of the left, which now dominates the Democratic Party, the U.S. mainstream media, and our academic institutions. So it should be no surprise that leftist hack Bob Woodward would come out with a new book bashing Trump over the pandemic and contending he wrongly downplayed its significance for too long. Never mind that Trump back in January correctly recognized the danger and banned non-U.S. citizens traveling from China from entering the U.S. as a preventive measure and was widely accused of racism for this by the left. And this while House Speaker Nancy Pelosi was also publicly proclaiming coronavirus was nothing to worry about on CBS television in late February. And White House Coronavirus Task Force member Dr. Anthony Fauci was doing the same well into March. They later said they downplayed the seriousness of the virus because they had been misled by the Chinese. Wasn't everybody? But this is how the left works, as I said. Remember, under communism and other forms of socialism and their offshoot, so-called liberalism, the ends justify the means. Hence, anything that allows them to obtain their goals and gain power is always justified to them. Lies, distortions, tricks, misinformation campaigns meant to confuse and disorient people are the stock in trade of the political left. They will do anything to get power and increase their control over other people's lives. So no one should be surprised at the unrelenting misinformation campaigns of the left, which have become increasingly desperate and open about their true intentions of taking over this country and radically transforming it into their hallucinatory vision of a socialist utopia. As you will also see later in the program, they have powerful allies among the elites in American culture and society. As an example, though, of this, what I've just been mentioning about the left is currently loudly contending that Trump will contest the election when he loses and will refuse to concede, possibly even causing a civil war. Meantime, they are saying they will contest and refuse to concede an apparent defeat of Democrat Joe Biden under any circumstances, as Hillary Clinton recently stated. With the aid of leftists who have become embedded in the Democratic Party, our governmental apparatuses, the media, education, and social institutions over many decades, the left, as I said, with its allies in the elites of society, is waging an all-out effort to defeat Donald Trump and orchestrate a takeover of the U.S., regardless of whether or not they can brainwash enough Americans to vote them into power this November. Here's some commentary about the situation by radio host Rush Limbaugh on his show September 15th. Play soundbite two, please.
Well, the Democrats are promising that the riots will continue and intensify. The Democrats are promising that the violence will ratchet up. The Democrats, in fact, this is one of the things that the Democrats are using to try to win the election. They're actually extorting voters. The Democrats are saying, if you want this, if you want this stuff to continue, elect Trump. If you elect Trump, this stuff's going to continue and it's going to keep getting worse. If you want us to stop, then don't elect Trump.
Hmm.
They're actually making a play out of this. And ask yourself, why would they stop? If they lose this election, you got to stop and examine their psychology. They have been convinced for 4 years that Trump did not win in 2016. Now, I don't care what they actually really know. After 4 years of investing in this abject lie that Trump stole it, that he cheated, that he colluded with the Russians, some of them have actually begun now to believe that. In the process, many of them believe they actually won in 2016 and that Trump shouldn't be there at all. And they believe, as such, that most Americans agree with them now, and they really believe Trump is going to lose. They think Biden's going to win and win big. If that doesn't happen, folks, I shudder to think what we are headed for. But it's worse if they do win. It's unthinkable, them winning. It literally is unthinkable. If the Democrats win, if Biden wins this election, or Kamala Harris, or whoever that they put up there, that's the end of democracy. It's the end of the two-party system. We are going to have a one-party government that is going to devote itself to eliminating all opposition. That's what's at stake. If they win, I think the Republican Party essentially ceases to exist. One of the first things they will do is grant statehood to D.C. and Puerto Rico, and that'll give them four Democrat senators. They will never lose control of the Senate. They will never lose control of the House. They will pack the Supreme Court with who knows how many new justices, and they'll all be left-leaning justices. And it won't take them long to do any of this. And after they've done it, there will be a one-party state. The United States will be a one-party government. It'll be just like California is now. It'll be just like New York is now. In California, the Republican Party doesn't exist. Well, it exists, but they never win anything. In New York, the same thing. Now, you can see what's happened in New York and California. They are the blueprints and the forerunners for what will happen nationwide if the Democrats win in November. Mark my words. Everybody thought that the election in 2016 was the election of a lifetime. This one is too, maybe even bigger. The Democrat Party has become full-fledged Marxist radical left. They do not believe in opposition. They don't believe in debate. They don't believe they should have to win minds and hearts. They don't believe they should have to persuade anybody. They don't believe that there is legitimate opposition. So they're not going to have debates. They're not going to have any circumstance where they could lose politically. They believe in a one-party dominating government. And it's what they're going to set up as quickly as they can. And there will be punishment for people who oppose them, try to stop them. This is what, for me, is so frustrating about all the Never Trumpers and so many so-called conservatives, why they don't see this as the immediate future of this country if the Democrats would forget Trump. Forget Trump. This is not really, I mean, Trump is he's the only guy that can prevent this from happening.
As I said, these leftists are now allied with very powerful, fabulously rich people in America who see themselves as having a lot to lose in terms of their personal fortunes, which are tied to business interests in China. If Trump is reelected, they're very worried. This is all very confusing for many people and just too much for most of them to believe, I believe, right now. Though the evidence for it is abundant if you want to look for it. Rush, Limbaugh, and others who are looking at the situation are right. If Trump wins, and with him hopefully a lot more Republicans in other offices as well this November, we can expect a national convulsion of violence, including rioting and other actions aimed at toppling the government. The left is warning of this regularly. Since they continue to promote the lies and still have many millions of Americans convinced that Trump somehow stole the election in 2016, that Trump is, as Hillary Clinton says, an illegitimate president who colluded with the Russians to win the election. And Americans have been defrauded over all of this and must do whatever is necessary to rectify it. In other words, Hillary lost to Trump, so Trump is illegitimate. In fact, there is not one shred of evidence that Trump ever did anything to collude with Russia. And in fact, it was Hillary Clinton and the Democratic Party who did the colluding. As I said, though, that's the purpose of all this misinformation, is to throw people off, confuse them. Hillary Clinton and the Democrats paid for the infamous Steele dossier that claimed unnamed Russian sources provided ridiculous and totally unverifiable information that was used for the government of the U.S. to illegally spy on the Trump campaign in an effort to find Trump and his associates guilty of any crime they could. And they found nothing of any consequence relating to Trump. It was Hillary who, while Secretary of State, accepted some $147 million in donations from individuals and entities associated with the Russian government to her corrupt but legal money laundering operation known as the Clinton Foundation, while the Russian government had a proposal before the State Department to gain control of 20% of U.S. strategic uranium production, later approved by Hillary's State Department. And while all this was going on, a bank associated with the Russian government paid Bill Clinton $500,000 to give just one of his vacuous speeches in Moscow. This is much higher than he would usually charge for his lucrative speech giving activities. Democrats in the House of Representatives voted to impeach Trump over his asking the newly elected president of Ukraine to look into the former Ukrainian government's firing of a prosecutor investigating allegations of corruption by the Ukrainian energy company Burisma. Burisma was at the time paying then U.S. Vice President Joe Biden's son, Hunter. I've heard it kicked around a lot of different figures. The other day, Trump said $180,000 a month. I heard $80,000 earlier. I understand the total payments were $1 million or more. As a member, Hunter Biden was getting paid this while he served on Burisma's board of directors without any previous experience or in this area of energy production or even in corporate affairs, as I understand it. Joe Biden is shown on a video bragging about threatening to withhold a $1 billion U.S. loan guarantee for Ukraine if the prosecutor was not fired. And he was fired, and the U.S. then approved the loan guarantee. Wasn't this an issue in the Democrat propaganda network known as the mainstream media? Not at all. Most people don't even know about it. All this is continuously covered up by the mainstream media, but you can find the facts of it well laid out by Peter Schweitzer in his books Clinton Cash and Profiles in Corruption. Clinton Cash has been made into a video, which is available on the internet as well. As I said, that's how the left, which holds sway over the thinking of tens of millions of Americans, operates. Lie and cover up, distort, engage in misinformation campaigns to confuse people, and it works. And that's why this type of mind control is so very dangerous for our country today. But it's not just the leftist mindset of many people opposing Trump. Here's more audio from Rush Limbaugh on his program 2 days ago discussing journalist Lee Smith's article on the website Tablet Mag. That's TABLETMAG.com, tabletmag.com, in which Smith attributes much of the opposition to Trump as being based on fear and anger by powerful Americans who now support communist China over the USA in exchange for their personal fortunes. The article is titled, America's China Class Launches a New War Against Trump. The corporate tech and media elites will not allow – the corporate, tech and media elites will not allow the president to come between them and Chinese money. That's the title and subtitle of the article. Play soundbite three, please.
Boy, I have a great piece today that I hope I'm able to do justice. Our buddy Lee Smith, who was one of the early journalists to expose the entire coup that was the Trump-Russia collusion story, is out with a piece that explains why the hatred for Trump. And it's not so much hatred, he says, it's fear. And it really, he said, his investigation has led him to conclude that it really isn't due to the fact that Trump's an outsider and that their establishment wonks, and although that's a factor. He says it's all about China. He says that we would not believe the number of Americans in the military, at the Pentagon, he names names, who have become independently wealthy via payments from China. Their entire families have been set up. Their futures of the kids they have are set up. And here comes Trump attempting to inflict great harm on the Chi-Coms as an enemy of the U.S., when so many Americans, including former ranking officials in previous presidential administrations and at the Pentagon, have already sold out to the Chi-Coms for money, for personal aggrandizement. And it makes great sense.
Lee Smith's article states, quote, the American elite's financial relationship with China is the key to understanding what's been happening in America the past 4 years. Any president, Democrat or Republican, who took on China would have been targeted by the China class. Because it was Trump flying the Republican banner who sided with America's working men and women, the Democrats resorted to alliances with powers that now threaten the stability and security of the country. Unquote. Trump has been working to decouple the strong economic ties between USA and communist China to help the struggling middle class, among other reasons. Many of these people fear losing or seeing diminished the fabulous wealth they and their families, including Joe Biden's family, have derived from business interests with China. The number of powerful people who have sold out America to the Chinese Communist Party for their own enrichment is large and growing. Sadly, it makes sense that they would be pushing hard to defeat Donald Trump. These are the people Smith refers to as the China class. Take a look at Smith's article to get a better understanding of the China class, as he calls it. The left is gearing up to win this election. They have their 80 million mail-in ballots scheme, and by whatever means they can bring about, to win the election, and to hell with election integrity if they lose. And while they say they anticipate Trump losing the election and claim he will contest the election and refuse to concede, they are also stating they will contest and refuse to concede the election if Biden loses. This is no joke. I have never feared the outcome of an election as much as I am fearing this one in November. We all know Biden is losing his mental capacity and is merely a figurehead who will be used to carry out the policies and objectives of the dangerous leftist, globalist, and pro-Chinese communist forces supporting him. You may have heard his campaign slogan, quote, build back better, unquote, referring to how to rebuild the U.S. economy and other aspects of America in the wake of the coronavirus pandemic. You may also know of Biden's proclivity for plagiarism, that is, claiming the work of others as his own. It turns out that Build Back Better is a slogan widely used by oligarchs and globalists pushing hard for more power and their goal of achieving world government in the wake of the coronavirus pandemic. Here's some audio from a video posted September 14th on the New American website about this. It's part of their video series Behind the Deep State with host Alex Newman. Play soundbite 4, please.
Have you heard of Biden's silly new campaign slogan, Build Back Better? Well, he didn't come up with it. He actually ripped it off straight from the dictators club known as the United Nations. And that is bad news for America, folks, and it's bad news for our freedoms. If he gets elected, you can say hello to the New World Order, the deep state's vision. So basically, the deep state burned down our economy under the guise of protecting us from the pandemic. And now they have burned down our cities under the guise of pursuing racial justice. And now they're going to build back better. At least that's what Joe Biden says. And what they really mean, of course, is to build back in the way that the deep state wants them to build back. Now, Joe Biden is their point man. Obviously, Joe Biden is a deep state swamp creature extraordinaire. He's been in Washington, D.C., what, like 5 decades? He actually brags about being the ultimate deep state swamp creature. Obviously, you guys know if you've been watching this show regularly, the Council on Foreign Relations is deep state headquarters in America. It is the mothership, Hillary Clinton said, that tells her what she should be doing and how she should be thinking about things. Richard Haass is the president of this globalist monstrosity. And check out this video where Joe Biden actually admits that he works for not the American people, not you, dear voter, but for Mr. Richard Haass. Check this out.
I probably should introduce myself to people, everybody. My name is Richard Haass, by the way. I work here at the Council on Foreign Relations.
And I work for Richard.
Isn't that funny? I work for Richard. Okay. Well, he works for Richard. It's true. And what does he do for Richard? What kind of work is he doing for Mr. Richard? Well, he's working on building the New World Order, which means ending your freedom, ending our nation as a sovereign, independent nation, and creating this crazy wackadoodle global government that they want. Check this out.
The affirmative task we have now is to actually create a new world order.
Yeah, new world order. You got to build back better so we can have a new world order instead of that old world order where people had rights and that kind of stuff. Anyways, as part of his subservience to this globalist agenda, Biden's campaign has this crazy new slogan, Build Back Better. Now, I'm going to show you just a couple clips on this. You can do some more on your own, but check this out.
Over the last few weeks, I've laid out my Build Back Better plan based on necessities and on the idea we can't just build back to what it was before. We have to build back better.
Have to build back better. Now, that would be nice if Biden had come up with it. Actually, no, it wouldn't. But Biden didn't come up with it, of course. This slogan is now a catch-all phrase to push every conceivable deep state policy prescription that you can imagine. Globalism, massive government, climate shenanigans, sustainable development, which is just tyranny, basically crushing whole sectors of the global economy. And it goes right hand-in-hand with the Great Reset that we talked about in a recent episode, being pushed by the IMF and the UN and the World Economic Forum, and, of course, the Green New Deal, the recipe for mass suicide. Now, politicians all over the world are promoting this Build Back Better shenanigans. Some of them do give credit to the UN. Biden does not. But I'm going to show you some clips in just a little bit. Now, the Economic Forum, which is pushing the Great Reset, they are also peddling this Build Back Better monstrosity. And they said the purpose is to reinvent capitalism, except that's not really what they want to do. They want to smash what remains of the free market system and replace it with technocracy. Now, I'm going to show you just a quick clip here, and we've got so many of these, we had to be selective, but I'm going to show you one of the Secretary General of the United Nations, Mr. Antonio Guterres. He is a Portuguese guy. He, before taking over the UN, he was the head of the Socialist International, the largest global alliance of socialist and communist political parties, and it includes more than a few political parties that have the blood of millions on their hands. Now, check out what Mr. Guterres has to say about building back better. Listen to this.
But the COVID-19 pandemic can also be a moment for resolving long-standing conflicts and addressing structural weaknesses. 4 sets of priorities can guide the response to build back better and achieve the Sustainable Development Goals. First, immediate measures to slow the spread of the disease and conflict and meet the urgent needs of the most vulnerable. That means prioritizing life-saving health care to COVID-19 victims, respecting the call for a global ceasefire, ensuring humanitarian assistance to the most vulnerable, including refugees, displaced, and those communities, providing emergency support to individuals and households, and taking steps to relieve debt, promote trade, and expand relief, for example, through a regional solidarity fund. Second, we must deepen efforts to address inequalities by investing in universal health and education, social protection floors, and technology. The region is home to the world's largest gender gap in human development. COVID-19 recovery is an opportunity to invest in women and girls, ensure equal rights and participation, which will have lasting benefits for all. Education and opportunities are also critical for young people in the region who face unemployment rates 5 times higher than those for adults. With the right investments, Arab youth, now the largest age group, can also be its largest asset. Third, boosting the economic recovery through reimagining the region's economic model in favor of more diversified green economies, and that means creating decent, sustainable jobs, introducing progressive taxation measures, ending fossil fuel subsidies, and taking greater account of climate risks. Fourth, now is the moment to prioritize human rights, ensure a vibrant civil society and free media, and create more accountable institutions that will increase citizens' trust and strengthen the social contract. All of these steps are pivotal to helping the Arab region build back better and enhancing its ability to withstand future shocks.
So the Arabs have to build back better, Canadians have to build back better, everybody's got to build back better. Even communist Chinese have to build back better. They're literally using this slogan now. They got, oh, learn from the communist Chinese how we build back better. Isn't that cute? Boris Johnson, the guy with the awesome hair, the Prime Minister of Britain, he also wants to build back better. Check this out.
If we are to defeat COVID-19, achieve a global recovery, and avoid a future pandemic, then we must work together across borders. Our national efforts will count for little unless they are fortified by international cooperation. Today, the most urgent tasks are to stabilise the world economy and develop a vaccine. Britain has contributed over £700 million, almost $1 billion, to the international response. We're the largest single donor to the efforts of the Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness to find a vaccine. We've provided up to £150 million to the IMF to help developing countries cope with the economic impact. But once we move beyond the emergency phase, we owe it to future generations to build back better and base our recovery on solid foundations, including a fairer, greener, and a more resilient global economy.
Oh, but when he says it with that British accent, it just sounds so smart and so appealing, right? And with that awesome hair, it's just incredible. So I'm sold. Commenting on this monstrosity, James Dellingpole, he's one of my favorite British commenters, amazing guy, used to write for The Telegraph, now he's over at Breitbart. He says, and he was commenting on Boris Johnson's use of the term, but he says this build back better is merely the latest, quote, code phrase for green global tyranny. So you're starting to get the picture? Joe Biden's Build Back Better campaign is literally the UN's Build Back Better campaign. Of course, the fake media won't tell you that. And they're not stupid, folks. They're not stupid. So pick another option. Plagiarism scandal really pales in comparison with the real threat, with the real danger here. And that is the utter devastation of our freedom, of our prosperity that would result from implementing this plagiarized UN, OECD, World Economic Forum, globalist, deep state gobbledygook plan called Build Back Better with their Great Reset and their Green New Deal, and we're going to transform life on the planet and all the rest of it. So, guys, you got to recognize what's happening here. These totalitarians are working at a global level. Okay. Obviously, somebody sent out a memo to politicians all over the world. We've just proved it to you here. And this is dangerous, folks. We know where he's getting his dangerous ideas from: Richard Haass and from the Council on Foreign Relations and from the deep state behind the deep state. But it's time for these totalitarians to be exposed and stopped. Joe Biden took an oath multiple times to uphold and defend our U.S. Constitution. He put his hand on the Bible. And he swore that he would do it. If he doesn't want to do it, he should resign or he should work to have a constitutional amendment passed to do it in the proper way.
Despite presenting himself as a moderate, Biden is clearly closely aligned with globalist oligarchs and political leaders, including the Chinese Communist Party, which, as reported by Peter Schweitzer, rewarded Biden's son Hunter with a $1.5 billion business deal with a company associated with the State Bank of China. Now, this is in addition to the Ukrainian sweetheart deal Hunter Biden had, where he got supposedly over $1 million from the corrupt Ukrainian energy company Burisma. People are waking up to all this, but will enough of them do so in time? Here's a speech by Florida businessman and Cuban immigrant Maximo Alvarez at last month's Republican National Convention, warning about these dangerous political trends we are witnessing. Play soundbite 5, please.
Hello, my name is Maximo Alvarez. I live in Miami, Florida, not far from the state of Florida, which is in just a 90-mile wide blue strip on a map for me. It divides freedom from fear. It divides the past from the present, from the future. I know all about the past. I'll never forget my own. My family has fled totalitarianism and communism more than once. First my dad from Spain, then from Cuba. But my families don't run away. By the grace of God, I live the American dream. The greatest blessing I ever had, my dad only had a sixth grade education, told me, don't lose this place. You'll never be as lucky as me. I'm speaking to you today because my family is done abandoning what we rightfully earned. There's no place to hide. I'm speaking to you today because President Trump may not always be politically correct. He's in fact a successful businessman, not your average career politician. Our president is just another family man, a friend, and most important, our elected commander-in-chief who puts America first. Keep in mind, the other guy running for president is mostly concerned about power. Yes, yes, power for them, but not for the benefit of all Americans. I'm speaking to you today because I have seen people like this before. I've seen movements like this before. I've seen ideas like this before. And I am here to tell you, we cannot let them take over our country. I heard the promises of Fidel Castro, and I can never forget all those who grew up around me, who looked like me, who suffered and starved and died because they believed those empty promises. They swallow the communist poison pill. If you have a chance, go to the Freedom Tower in Miami. Stop and listen. You can still hear the sounds of those broken promises. It is the sound of waves in the ocean carrying families clinging to pieces of wood. Families with children who can't swim, but willing to risk everything to reach this blessed land. It is the sound of tears hitting the paper of an application to become an American citizen. Most heard and liked the promises, but soon after, they experienced the reality. Look at them, listen to them, learn the truth. Those false promises, spread the wealth, free education, free health care, defund the police, trust the socialist state more than your family and your community. They don't sound radical to my ears. They sound familiar. And Fidel Castro was asked if he was a communist. He said he was a Roman Catholic. He knew he had to hide the truth. But the country I was born in is gone, totally destroyed. When I watch the news in Seattle, Chicago, Portland, and other cities, when I see the history being rewritten, when I hear the promises, I've heard echoes of the former life I never wanted to hear again. I see shadows I thought I had outrun. My parents only wanted one person to decide my fate. Me, not some party member, not some government official, not some bureaucrat. In America, I would decide my own future. I am so grateful to America, the place where I was able to build my American dream through hard work and determination. President Trump knows that the American story was written by people just like you and I, who love our country and take risks to build a future for our families and neighbors. I may be a Cuban born, but I am 100% American. This is the greatest country in the world. And I said this before. If I gave away everything that I have today, it would not equal 1% of what I was given when I came to this great country of ours. The gift of freedom. Right now, it is up to us to decide our fate and to choose freedom over oppression. President Trump, he's fighting the forces of anarchy and communism. And I know he will continue to do just that. And what about his opponent and the rest of the DC swamp? I have no doubt they will hand the country over to those dangerous forces. You and I will decide. And here's what I've decided. My decision is very easy. I choose President Trump because I choose America. I choose freedom. I still hear my dad. There is no other place to go. Thank you, and may the good Lord bless America.
There's precious little time left before the November elections to be sure you're registered so you can cast your vote in what could be the last time we are able to vote and have it make a difference. As has been noted earlier in this program, even if Trump and other Republicans win, there will be widespread civil unrest as the radical left and its oligarch and globalist allies move to wrest the presidency from Trump. I can't underestimate what's at stake in these elections. As Maxico Alvarez urges, choose freedom over oppression. Choose freedom over tyranny. Don't sit this one out. That's all for this program. Stay safe out there, and have a good night.